People survive financial setbacks. People survive natural disasters. We are built to be able to survive in this world. But for the Christian, mere survival doesn't cut it completely. God wants us to thrive by being overcomers. Hallelujah. So 1 John 5:4 did not say, for whatsoever is born of God merely survives the world. And this is the victory that survives the world. Even our faith, it says, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory of they that overcome the world, even their faith. Praise the Lord. So in this scripture, I want to just show us a few definitions so that we understand exactly what John was talking about. Number one, to overcome means to prevail, to pass over, and to gain victory. We don't want to just settle for surviving. We want to gain victory. See, you need to be victorious in any endeavor or in every endeavor of your life. Hallelujah. So the spirit of the overcomer has victory in their sights. You must see victory. You must understand what victory means. Overcoming means you will be victorious in anything you lay your hands on. Hallelujah. But also to overcome in this context also shifts to certain one thing that I want you to understand. See, it's easy, honestly. Sometimes if we push a little bit, we can be victorious in so many things without even knowing that God's hand is in it. Without even understanding, having the consciousness, as for this, it is God who has granted me the victory. Hallelujah. So what I'm trying to say is, even non-Christians have certain things in their lives that they can also say that, you know what, as for this, I was victorious. Praise the Lord. They can push through life very well, very hard, with discipline, and do all the things. They don't know God, though. They don't worship God. But they can also claim victories in certain parts of their endeavors. So, if you are victorious in so many things, yes, for us Christians, we totally attribute it to God's assistance, God's help, God's power, God's grace upon us, God's mercy, rightly so. It is so with the unbelievers because when it rains, it suffices and it reaches all kinds of destinations. God freely, liberally gives to so many people. So I believe that God grants victory to everyone. So we Christians need to tap into that. But John is talking about a kind of victory here that is a little different. And it starts from the definition of the world. When he says that we Christians are overcomers of the world, we overcome the world. Everything that is in the world, in our challenges and all that, but also the system of the world. When John speaks of the world, what is he exactly referring to? The answer is in 1 John 2:14. 1 John 2:14, still with NIV. 1 John 2:14, shall we read together? 1 John 2:14, let's go. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God. Okay, let's read it again. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. 15. And the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. 16. For everything in the world, I want you to notice everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. John is describing, defining to us what he means by the world in this context. Hallelujah. John is saying that the things of the world, the system of the world, is different. The things of the world or the systems of the world are the things that constantly become source of temptation for the Christian. And John 5 is saying that when we are born of the Lord, we overcome these things that serve as constant temptations to the Christian. Hallelujah. So you realize that victory, over being an overcomer, being victorious for us and for everyone else, many things we can push, many things we can rely on the mercies of God to gain victory, to overcome. But when it comes to the things that constantly tempt us, to remove us from the auspices, from the jurisdiction of God, to taint our testimony, the things that would constantly draw us into sin, the things that would constantly test our faith. John said, when it comes to those things, it is only those who are born of the Lord and also believe in Jesus Christ. Those are the only ones that are able to overcome this world and the system of the world. Hallelujah. John is saying that, look, the lust of the flesh, these are the system, these are the things, everything in the world, and he goes on to define it as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things, if we as Christians are able to stand, if we are born of the Lord, of God, of the Spirit, and if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have that divine capacity to overcome these things. They are formidable enemies. They are strong temptations. Every sin that you can think of fall within these three categories. Either the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. And John is saying that for these ones, you need to be born of the Spirit. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the two criteria, the two things that makes you and I receive that divine ability to overcome the world and its system, the two criteria is being born of the Lord and then also believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to pivot a little bit to look at the mark of those who are born of the Lord and what it truly means to believe in Jesus Christ, and the testimony that surrounds believing in Jesus Christ or who Jesus Christ is. Because I believe that once we are able to understand these two principles and apply it to our lives, we'll step out there and we will be overcomers of the systems of this world. John is the only apostle who seems to be concerned about birth, being born again. You remember that he speaks in the gospel in John 3, he talks about being born again. And in John 1:12, he said that as many that receive Jesus Christ, as many that believed in him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. And he went on to say that children who are born of God. There are children who are born of God. Hallelujah. And then when we come to his first letter, he explains to us that the evidence of our being born of God, or the marks, the things that marks us as people who are born of God, are people who practice righteousness. People of God, people born of God, are people who practice righteousness. People born of God, in chapter 3, verse 9 of 1 John, are people who do not commit sin. He says that no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. The mark of people who are born of God is that they have the righteous perception of lifestyle. They live a life that is sacred, that is separate from the rest of the world. They live a life, in fact, when they even fall into sin, their conscience, their mind, the spirit that is on the inside of them will pester them all through until they bring that sin before the Lord for forgiveness. And then also, John said that those who are born of God are people who love their fellow believers. Chapter 4, verse 7 of 1 John 1. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Hallelujah. So when we talk about born of the Spirit, and later when we go to believing in Jesus Christ, when we talk about born of the Spirit, there should be some marks. There should be something that accompany your life that will let you, that will make you know that indeed you are born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. John specifically gives us the marks of those who are born of God. And he does that because he wants us to know that if you are able to, if you will be a Christian who will be able to overcome the world and the world system, you need to be born of God. You need to exhibit these characteristics. Then he said that we overcome the world if you are born of the Lord. What is John saying? John is saying that those of us who are born of the Spirit, we have a divine nature that is able to help us overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You see, we may not submit to it, but there is power in this divine nature that is able to overcome these things, beloved of God. If you are born of the Spirit, if you are a Christian, if you are born again, don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking that, oh, the body is, the flesh is weak. As for the flesh, whether you like it or not, whether you are born of the Spirit, whether you are a Christian, as for this flesh, it will always sin. You see, that is a lie. Because the Bible says that his divine nature has given us all the power, the necessary things we need to live a godly life. So the question that I want to pose to you this morning is that when you find yourself drawn into sin and practicing sin all the time, when you find yourself totally unable to shift to living the life of righteousness, when you find yourself so helpless that as for you, unless the sin doesn't pass your doorstep, you grab hold of it and just do it according to what the enemy wants to do. When you find yourself in that situation over and over again, then there is a high likelihood that you are not born of the Spirit. So I think as the message progresses, there should be a sacred or honest introspective of every single one here listening to the sound of my voice. Are you born of the Spirit? Do you have the innate nature, or not the innate nature? Do you have, are you able to tune into the divine ability, divine help to say no to sin? This is what John is teaching, that the power of the Holy Spirit is such that it can overcome all the evil that abides in a man's flesh. Look, let us not just think that we've received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but pack it all aside and continue to live your life as normal, as usual. Let's practicalize it. Let's look in the face of sin and say that I know who you are. I'm born of the Spirit. I choose to stand with Christ, and the divine nature of God is in me, and He is going to allow me to overcome this sin. I know that this is the wrong thing. I will go the other way because Christ lives in me. But if you lose conscious of that and you see the sin and say, oh, that's an opportunity, you grab hold of it, that's it. It knocks at the door of your heart all the time. The opportunity to do the wrong thing. Lust of the flesh. Hey, as we go out, your eyes will lust after so many things. Your flesh will lust after so many things. The pride of life, it will all set in. But the one who is born of a Spirit is the one who is able to isolate all that and stand on their two good feet and say that I see what I'm seeing, but I'm not going to do what I'm seeing or what my mind is telling me to do. That one is the one who is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith. So John uses the same subject of faith as in James 2. And what I want to talk about here is, in that same scripture, 1 John, when you read to 7, it talks about believing in Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus Christ. And this faith and believing in Jesus Christ, beloved of God, it is not just head knowledge. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of the Lord is also an overcomer. But the question is, it is not just head knowledge of believing in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So 1 John 5:5 is not merely believing in our mind that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but also making sure that what we believe that we are adhering to the principles of Christ. We know exactly who Christ is. When it comes to believing in Jesus, that one, Bible says the demons, they also believed. Hallelujah. I don't know whether to say hallelujah to that, but let's read James 2:19. Project James 2:19. James chapter 2, verse 19. We'll bring our message to an end very soon. Let's read it together. Go. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. In fact, theirs is even stronger, because not only do they believe, they shudder. Some version says they even tremble. So it means that the demons also believe in the deity of Christ. They also believe that he was born into this world as well. But they can't confess it. You know why they can't confess it? Because they are overcome by that same confession. Bible says that if we testify, we overcome them. Hallelujah. So they cannot testify that Jesus Christ is Lord. They cannot testify that Jesus, they believe it. They have head. Do they even have head? They have the heart. They have heart. Nathan said that demons have heart. I didn't say it. So whether it is their head knowledge or heart knowledge or lung knowledge, somehow they have some kind of knowledge that Jesus is Lord. But they can't testify it. So if it is a mere question of intellectual belief, then they will be able to receive salvation. But it goes beyond that. Our belief in Jesus Christ goes beyond what we have read and what has been spoken to us. It is living the faith. Hallelujah. It's a faith in Him which has brought us into union with the Lord. So believing in Jesus Christ also means that we need to cleave to Him closely and adhere to His leanings. We need to be joined in Him, and our lifestyle needs to be yoked with Him. It is a conscious effort to remember that we have believed in Him, and so we need to walk according to His precepts. Praise the Lord. But you see, when it comes to believing, John made sure that if he's telling us that we need to believe in Jesus Christ, here is a message, pay attention. If John is saying that anyone who is born of the Spirit is an overcomer, who is an overcomer? And he says those who have faith in God, our faith, and those who believe in Jesus Christ. It means that if we are going to etch our hope and our belief and invest our belief in Jesus Christ, then there should be three testimonies. Hallelujah. There should be three forms of witnesses. If our queen, you know she's our queen. Those ladies who don't call her queen. Until maybe December when you are dethroned, but right now you are queen. So if Mary Ntoni, our queen, if Mary comes to me and tells me a story, or let me not even relate it to Mary, when you go to the court of law and somebody is being convicted, so the prosecutors, what they will do is they will bring evidence. And besides the evidence, they also bring people to testify that this person did this. And the judge sits there and listens to the testimony. And based on the testimony, the judge will decide whether or not what the person needs to be convicted. Now, if John is telling us that we need to believe in Jesus Christ, then John better give us three testimonies, three evidence, something that will make, I know you don't think about it, so natural for us who have believed, but something that will make us, our beliefs, strong. So, what does he say? He says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water alone. You see, John is trying to really testify about this guy. He did not come by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Hallelujah. Let's read that scripture. 1 John 5:6. We'll bring our message to an end very soon. 1 John 5:6. Is it Joel over there that is delaying the thing? 1 John 5, go, let's go. This is the one who came by water. Let's together, P-I-W-C, go. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:7-8, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Praise the Lord. So what are these three things that John is talking about? What are these three things that John, Chinchina, oh sorry, PIWC, by all means, John wants us to know that this Jesus Christ is the one that we have to believe. He says the Spirit bears witness concerning this Jesus Christ. John 15, 26 and 27. Let's do that quickly. John 15, 26 and 27. We'll tie it all together very soon. John 15, 26. Good job. Let's go. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, Jesus speaking. 27. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. John is saying that the Spirit of God himself testifies that this is actually Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Not only does the Spirit testify, but also by water. When Jesus was baptized, for those of you who remember, as he allowed himself to be baptized just so that all righteousness will be fulfilled. Okay. So that nobody will come and say that, oh, this is the one we follow. Why are you saying that we need to baptize? Well, he wasn't baptized. He wasn't baptized as a sinner, but he identified himself with sinners. That is why he was baptized. That's a difference. Jesus was not a sinner, but he identified himself with you and I as sinners. And that is why he got baptized. How am I doing on time? Okay, I'll finish very soon. When he was baptized and he was coming out of the water, the Spirit testified. God said that, Bible said the heaven opened and he said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So during the water baptism, that's what John is referring here. During the water baptism, there was testimony that indeed this is Jesus Christ. And the testimony of the blood, when he hung on the cross and he shed his blood on Calvary, the things that happened when he said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? When he left and released his Spirit to his Father, Bible says that the sin of the world was upon him so much that God took away his eyes from him. And he allowed his Spirit to be released to God. Sin of the world was put on his shoulder. His Father needed to show some sign to indicate that indeed this Jesus is the God. For all of us to know, for the people, the eyewitnesses who were there. Look, these people saw these things. Bible says the earth shook. Graves popped up open in Jerusalem. So many people saw him. He showed a sign that this indeed is not an ordinary man, but is a son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We have even talked about resurrection. We'll reserve that for Easter. We haven't even talked about resurrection. But when he shed his blood, everybody knew that this man hanging there, the soldiers all of a sudden knew that, we have touched the wrong person. The Bible says that if they knew who he truly was, they wouldn't have crucified him. So John is saying that to overcome the world, the systems of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. In fact, I would even generalize it, that and to be an overcomer in all endeavors of your life. Be born of the Spirit and believe in this Jesus Christ. And these people who witnessed Jesus do the things he did at the cross when he died, the disciples who witnessed, you see, they were so bent because they had seen the truth. They were so bent on following the truth that even they died gruesome death and did not deny the truth because they had seen it and they've experienced it and they wrote about it. Beloved of God, believe in this Jesus Christ. Put your trust in this Jesus Christ. John said these three things, the blood, the Spirit, and the water, they testify about who this Jesus is. And Bible says that they were in agreement. They were in agreement. Hallelujah. So I want to conclude by just saying and encouraging the church that God's divine power has given us everything we need to live this life in a godly way through our knowledge of Him. And John is saying that, be an overcomer. As you live here today, I want you to understand, don't go and try to become an overcomer. If you are born of the Spirit and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an overcomer. Hallelujah. I said you are an overcomer. Go out there and overcome the world. Go out there and live your life with the principles, with the precepts of Christ, with the principles, values of Christ, and be an overcomer. Let the world see you and know that you are an overcomer. Sometimes it's very little things. I think our deaconess talked about when you are at work, how do you portray yourself? Look, portray yourself as an overcomer. Praise God. When I first came to this country, many, many years ago, and the Lord gave me this big position in corporate. You know, my biggest problem that time, was to gather the courage to speak even the things that I knew better than the people that I was meeting with. My biggest challenge was to have that ability, the strength, the tenacity to speak in meetings for my ideas. So in meetings, I know that what I'm thinking is right, but coming from Ghana culture, when you are in front of people, you can't really. That culture had grasped me so strongly until I found this scripture that, what is this? I am an overcomer. Hallelujah. I am an overcomer. Go and overcome your world. And even the most difficult aspects of this world system, sin that constantly knocks at your door, go and overcome that. For you are born of the Spirit and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we be on our feet? Elder Nate will lead us in a time of prayer later. So I want you to just open your hearts. And I want you to just look in your heart. We're saying that born of the Spirit and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ makes you an overcomer. Are you really born of the Spirit? Do you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? If the Lord were to bring your life to an end today, can you say for sure that you'll be with Him? Are there certain areas in your life that you struggle with? As for this particular sin, you say that it looks like I've owned it. When it comes knocking, I'm unable to stand. May the divine nature of God knock at your heart and give you that encouragement. But most importantly, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, raise your hand and we'll lead you to Christ. Spirit of a living God. May the Lord empower you. You who are born of a Spirit, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord be with you. May His divine nature give you the strength that you need to overcome this week. May you live as an overcomer. And in the coming weeks, may you continue to do so. May you continue to have the ability to look at that which is unrighteous. And by the faith and by the grounding that you've received in the power of the Holy Ghost, look into it and decide for God. May the Lord give you that strength. May the Lord keep you. Amen.
Being an overcomer, being born.